स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। सो हरि ओम्। सो इन् दिस् मुण्डक उपनिषद् विच् एस् वि सेड् इस् अ समरी आफ् दि एण्टायर् वेदस्, the rituals, the karma kanda, upasana, and then also the jnana, everything is summarized. That's why Swami Tejomayananda ji says it is his favorite Upanishad, because it is very, very wide knowledge is covered in this. And we had talked about apara and para vidya. Apara is the lower vidya, with whatever we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, including the Vedas, including all the science, history, geography is all apara, the lower, and para is that which takes us to Brahman. And after giving that in brief, then the teacher takes us to creation, where it says Brahmaji, through tapas, through knowledge, created this whole universe. And then from him came annam. Annam is meant as prakriti or maya, and then pranaha, the energy, Hiranyagarbha, then mind, satyam is the five elements, the lokas are the seven worlds, and karmas. And then this, from this supreme Brahman, who is all-knowing, all-pervading, jnana is the knowledge, and that is where the knowledge came from, and that is the essence. And then in the, that's in chapter 1, section 1. In section 2, which we started last week, they are now telling us about rituals, karmas that we should do. I would request everybody to open chapter 1, section 2, mantra number 3 onward. So if I call upon you, please have that ready. And here he's telling us the various rituals that are to be performed and why they should be performed. And it is said that they take us to Sukritasya Loke. They take us to heaven. And then last week we saw how the fire is kindled and how the priest sits and offers, and the yajman offers the offerings in the middle of the fire. Now we'll do mantra number 3. And this whole section is, at least today's talk is devoted to the rituals. And then next time when we meet in August, they will tell us about why these rituals are difficult and should not, are not and should not be pursued, why we should pursue the path of knowledge. So the Upanishad, after giving the rituals, criticizes them also, that they are not meant for people like you and me, who are so much involved in the world, for, you know, people who are pandits, who are swamis, mahatma, pandits, who are scholars. For them it would be, and also people who are desirous of going to heaven, they should perform the rituals. If you are desirous of moksha, then you should, I mean, do some limited prayer, which we'll talk about, but we don't have to do elaborate rituals. So that is what, but we still need to know about it. So it's like, what is apara and para? Why apara? So that I should not do apara and do para. That's how the rishi is teaching us what you can do and what is the higher. So mantra number 3, Deepika, you have that? You can unmute, please. Yasya Agnihotram Adarsham Apornamasam.
Chapter 2, Shloka 3, right?
Yes. No, Chapter 1, Section 2, Shloka 3. Chapter 1, Section 2, Shloka 3. It's in page 39 in this green book, if you have that. or 34 in the newer book.
Okay, I got it.
Yasya Agnihotram
यस्य अग्निहोत्रम् अदर्शम् पौर्णमासम्
Adarsham Apaurnamasam. It is everything is a in this. Apaurnamasam.
अपौर्णमासम्
Achaturyam asyam nag asyam anagrayanam atithivarjitam cha.
अचातुर्म अस्य मनाग्नयम् मनाग्नयम्यान अर्तितिर्वर्जितं च
Yeah, so it is achaturyam masyam anagrayanam atithivarjitam. So is there everywhere. Ahutam avaishvadevam avidhinahutam.
अहुतम् अवैश्वदेवम् अविदिना हुतम्
सप्तमांस्तस्य लोकान् हिनस्ति.
अह सप्तम अमा अस्त अस्तस्य
लोकान्.
लोकान् हि निस्तिः
या इट्स अ लिटल हार्ड वन, सो थैंक यू फॉर ट्राइंग. ओके, यू कैन म्यूट. यस्याग्निहोत्रम् अदर्शम् अपौर्णमासम् अचातुर्मास्यम् अनाग्रयणम् अतिथिवर्जितम् अहुतम् अवैश्वदेवम् अविधिनाहुतम् सप्तमांस्तस्य लोकान् हिनस्ति. So now what Rishi is saying that when you are doing the rituals, what are the things to avoid? Lot of cautions are given. What is the ritual? It is called Agnihotram. Agnihotram is the ritual that is offered by husband and wife together, and it is supposed to be offered in the morning and the evening. But what are the precautions it is given? It's very interesting how much attention you have to pay. So yes. So one who is doing this Agnihotram, what should he do? He should not do adarsham. Means I'll adarsham means not. I'll explain in detail. So adarsham, then apornamasam. It should not be done in the without avoiding the adarsham is the Amavasya, apornamasam is the Purnima. Acharturyamasyam, then there is a certain ritual that has to be done every 4 months. Then Anagrayanam, it should not be done without giving grain. Then Atithivarjitam, it should be done by offering to Atithi, to the guest. And Ahutam, it should be done Avaishvadevam. Avaishvadevam means without offering to other beings, like, cow, dog, birds, etc. Avidhina, not performing in the right manner when it is hutam, then what happens? If you don't do all these, then asaptamans tasya lokan hinasti. Asaptamans. So for this person, seven lokas perish or seven generations perish. So it's not meant to frighten us, but it is just meant that it should be done carefully. So Agnihotra we mentioned is the done by the couple together. Adarsha means there is a ritual that has to be done after Amavasya. When the moon is dark on the next day after, additional ritual has to be done. Then Apurnamasam, and then in the Purnima, the day after Purnima, also a ritual has to be offered. Then Achaturyamasam, there is a 4 month ritual. Chaturmasam means 4 months. There are two ways to interpret. One is that in the rainy season in India, it's very auspicious, so certain rituals are offered in the rainy season. Chaturmasam means every 4 months there is a certain ritual that has to be offered. So if we do it in April, then you do it in August, then you do it in December, then again in April. So when you are doing Agnihotram, you have to do additional ritual at Amavasya, Purnamasa, in the 4 months. Anagrayanam means without grain. So in the olden days, the temples either were supported by kings or they were supported by householders. Householders' job is to support temples, support all the spiritual organizations, wherever the teachings are going on, sannyasis, mahatmas. So sannyasis, mahatmas go and eat either in the temple or in these missions. So grain has to be offered to them. That's how these institutions are maintained. Then atithi varjitam, without offering to atithi. Atithi, one meaning is guest. But atithi also means a tithi. Tithi means date, a means without date. So one who shows up at your house is atithi, without invitation, without date, without appointment. In the olden days, people who were either sadhus, mahatmas, or teachers, like who did Bhagavat Saptah, or who would give discourses, or who would do rituals, prayers, they would just travel from village to village. And if there was any fire burning, they would just knock on the door. And it was the job of the householder. Fire burning means there is food, so to feed them. So that was required, that part of the ritual is to feed guests who come, especially these people who are doing good work and traveling. It is our duty to take care of them. Then a Vaishvadevam, as we said, offering should also be given to the cow, to the dog, to birds like crows and all. And avidhinahutam means done without proper vidhi, without proper method. Also, avidhina means done without proper attitude. Like somebody, atithi comes, you feed him, but with the attitude, aaya chalo kha, eat, don't come back next time. You may not say that, but if you express that, so there should be a joyful giving. Whether you are giving to a atithi or to the temple or to the beings, animals, birds, when you give, it should be given with joy. That's why Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita, in the laws of giving, he says in and also in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it says it should be given with faith. Do not give if you don't have faith. Give in plenty and give with joy and give with modesty, not showing up. So these are the laws of giving, which are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, also in Taittiriya Upanishad, in the Shikshavalli. So it should be given with that attitude, that joyfully, because I'm sharing, I have extra, Bhagwan has given me, so I should share it with less fortunate or people who need it. And temples and these institutions can only be supported by donations. So part of the harvest, every April and October, part of the harvest was always given by the farmers to the religious places to support them. So that's why it is Anagrayanam, means at the time of the harvest, this donation has to be made. And as we mentioned, in the right method, the proper mantras have to be chanted. And we know the story of Kathopanishad, where Nachiketa's father was doing this yagna, where he's supposed to give away everything that he owns, everything that he owns. And Nachiketa was only 5, 6 years old, or something like that. And he was watching, and his father was keeping all the good cows and giving away the cows that were old, that were not able to give milk, could barely stand, and giving them away in charity and keeping the good cows. So he understood that even though he was a young boy, he was very advanced. He understood that my father is doing wrong. So he asked his father, as you remember the story, whom are you going to give me to? You are supposed to give everything away. So I am also your possession. I am your son. And then he asks him 2 or 3 times when the yagna was going on, the chanting was going. And finally, the father gets irritated and he says, I give you to Yamraj, in a way of saying go to hell, with anger. And then he said, okay, I'll go to Yamraj. And that's how the whole teaching of Kathopanishad happens, where Nachiketa then goes to Yamraj and asks him questions. So the idea when they say that your seven worlds will perish or seven generations perish, it's not to frighten us. One is that, you know, if you are going to higher worlds, you know, there are seven higher worlds. Bhu, Bhuva, Swaha. So Bhu is the earth, then the interspace, and Swaha is heaven, that is Indraloka. Then Mahat, Jana, Tapa, those are the higher worlds. And then Satyam, Satyam is Brahma Loka. So there are seven worlds. And depending on your karmas, you can go to higher and higher worlds and even beyond heaven. And then those who go to Satyam or Brahma Loka, you cannot only go by karmas or rituals. You have to have upasana and you have to have jnanam. So knowledge and upasana is there, and then only you can go to the highest world. All the other worlds you can go by karma and by upasana. So one is that you won't progress on your spiritual journey. You will come back to earth and go through that. Other meaning is that your seven generations perish. Does not mean that they perish or they suffer. What it means is that there are three generations above us, say father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, right? And below me are son, grandson, and great-grandson. So there are seven generations. Now it is my duty for the older generation to take care of them, to serve them, and also do Shraddha. If they have passed away, do Shraddha. So if I don't do Shraddha to my forefathers and don't take care of them, then my children will get the wrong message that it's not necessary to do it. So that's why they say that it is a duty of a householder to take care of the older generation, and that will give the message to the younger generation. There is this story where this boy saw his father and grandfather. We were all living in the same house. And so the grandfather was feeling cold. He was sleeping on that charpai. And so the father takes out this stone blanket with holes in it and gives it to the son. He says, "Go give this to grandpa." So son looks at this blanket, which is torn, and he pulls and tears it in two halves. He said, "Why did you tear it in two halves?" He says, "I'm keeping half for you when you grow old." So the message is that, you know, we have to do our duty. And that's what here they are saying. You have a duty to other beings, animals, birds, to guests, and to take care of all past and future generations and religious institutions. And then there is a problem of economy, you know, because suppose a person is not that well off, how can he feed the, you know, temples? And so, yeah, then you have to do within your limits. You know, if a guest comes every day to feed a guest, feed animals. And then other problem is nowadays, Atithi cannot come because we all live in gated communities. So if he comes, there is a gate and he says, "Sorry, you're not allowed." And if he comes near the house, we have, all of us have big dogs, you know, scary dogs that bark. So ye Atithi to chalai gaya, it is gone. But that is how. So Gurudev in his commentary said, for us, do three things, four things. Do daily service, do japa, do puja, and do meditation. Just do those four things. Do service, japa, puja, meditation. You don't need to worry about elaborate rituals. Now, Shaku, you have the next one. Mantra number four. You have it?
Yes.
Kali karali cha manojavacha.
Kali karali cha manojavacha.
Sulohita yacha sudhumra varna.
Sulohita chaya surya dharma varna.
Sfulingini. Sfulingini vishvaruchi cha devi.
Sulangi vishvarupi cha devi.
Lelayamana iti sapta jivvaha.
Lelayamana ati sapta jiha.
यू कैन म्यूट. काली कराली च मनोजवा च सुलोहिताया च सुधूम्रवर्णा स्फुलिङ्गनी विश्वरुचि च देवी लेलायमाना इति सप्तजिह्वाः. दिस् मन्त्रा डस् नाट् नीड् मच् एक्स्प्लनेशन्. इट् इस् जस्ट् द डिस्क्रिप्शन् आफ् सेवेन् कैण्ड् आफ् फायर्स्. यु नो हौ ब्रिलियण्ट् दीस् पीपल् वर् that they could observe fire, and there's seven kinds of fires they have described, shows how developed their mind and intellect was and how much attention carefully they paid to all these fires. So the Kali means black. Everybody knows Kali in all languages. So Kali means the black fire, so smoky fire. Then Karali. Karali is the fire that is the terrific one when it is really, you know, strong. Manojava means very fast moving fire, you know, fire Manojava. Then Sulohita means the red fire. Sudhumra Varna means black. Again, where there is like circular rings of smoke, that is Sudhumra Varna. Sfulingini means the sparkling, you know, sparkling fire. And Vishwaruchi means the variety, variegated. So the fire has different colors. And that is called Devi. That is the goddess fire to whom we offer our ahutis, and they take it to the god. And Lelayamana. And when this is flickering, then this is the seven jivas, the seven tongues. See, Bhagwan has seven tongues that when we eat with our tongue, with our mouth. So these are the seven mouths and the seven tongues where you feed the ahutis, and they go to different, you know, different devtas. Like we talked about, if you want to send to Indra, you chant Indra mantra, Indra he swaha, Indra he swaha, Prajapataye swaha, Vaishnave swaha. So whoever you would like to send the offerings to, the fire will take it. The slight equivalent of that in the present science is when they see a candle. Scientists have described three portions of the candle. So one is black. Black portion of the candle is the innermost portion where the wax has not yet burnt. The wax is there, but it has not caught fire. So if you look at a candle carefully, the innermost portion is black. If you notice that, next time you light a candle, watch it. Then next to black is yellow, where it is partially burnt, the wax. And then next to yellow is blue, where it is bright flame, where it is fully burnt. So here we see that this is a beautiful mixture of science and literature, you know, where the rishis have scientifically observed this whole thing, and then in beautiful literary language they have put it, and it shows the amount of concentration and the advanced intellect of all these people. Otherwise, for you and me, we say fire is fire, khatam ho gaya, you know, we only see one. But they are able to different, again it depends on what kind of grain is offered, what kind of ghee, if it is a smoky wood and all that. So that's the seven kinds of fires. Sharad, you have this?
And also the Vedic time, that must have.
And that was the Vedic time, of course, this was the one that was offered at that time. And yeah, in those days, they did not have like Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, all those, what do you call, idols or all those gods. So fire was the god that was worshipped, and then through fire, they worshipped the elements. And the gods of the elements, like Indra is god of rain and thunder, and you know, the Varuna is the god of water, Agni Devta, Vayu Devta, all the devtas were worshipped through the medium of fire. So that's why fire was very important in those days. And even now, when we do major events, we always invoke fire, like when we do our Sudarshan Homam. At the mission, our anniversary, we have Panditji come and do Sudarshan Homa. At a wedding, you know, they do the Yagna. So, you know, the fire has a lot of significance. So now we'll do mantra number 5, where he talks. Now, what does this mantras do? when we offer to the fires, mantra number 5. Eteshu yascharate brajamaneshu.
Eteshu yascharate brajamaneshu.
Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan.
Yatha chalam chahutayo hyadadayam.
Tam nayant yeta suryasya rashmayo.
Tam nayante yetaha suryasya rasmayo.
Yatra devanam patire patireko divasah.
Yatra devanam patireko divasah.
We'll chant together. Eteshu yascharate brajamaneshu. Yatha kalam chahutayo hyadadayan. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayo. Yatra devanam patireko divasah. So we pronounce the visarga when it is at the end of the sentence, vasah. But when it comes in the middle, it just exaggerates the a. It does not, the h does not come. Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayo. Just the a becomes a little stronger. Aha, we only do when it's at the end of the sentence. So, eteshu, so with these, yascharate brajamaneshu, mean in who moves in the shining flames, one who moves, that means the yajmana, the one who is offering, and at the proper time, yatha kalam cha hutayo hyadadayan. So, one who offers these offerings at the right time and the right way to through the fire, then what happens to him? Now, what is the benefit of doing this? Tam nayanti. Nayanti means they take. Etaha. Etaha means these rituals. Who takes him? Suryasya rashmayo. The rays of the sun take this individual, that is after death. You know, it's in his body, he won't go to other worlds. But after death, who has done these rituals, done it at the proper time, in the proper way, and with Shraddha. Last week we had seen that this has to be done with Shraddha. Then the rays of the sun take him or her who is passed away, their subtle body. And where? Yatra, where does it go? Deva Naam, of the Devatas, Pati. Who is the Lord of the Devatas? That is Indra. Eko Adhivasaha, where Indra lives. So he takes them to heaven. So these rituals can only take you up to heaven. That's, as we said, Bhur Bhuva Swaha. That's it. For any higher worlds, you need to do more things. So here, what they have done is that they said that the offering should be done following the rules and the timings. You know, like we said, do it at the right time, do it in the right way, have the pandits offer. And the rays of the sun take. Now the sun, how can the rays of the sun take? So one meaning is, of course, the rays, sun's rays have the power. But Gurudev says sun means the karma phala. So all the good karmas you have done, the sun, which is the maintainer of this entire universe, you know, of all the planets and all that, and the entire solar system, and is the controller. So your karma phala, it gives you the karma phala, you know. So when we have done good karmas, when you have done rituals, you will get the fruit of that. And in this case, of course, the fruit is heaven. Now the sun is, and the devas are supposed to be the gods of the sense organs. You know, devanam, they say, na devanam. So what are the, so for example, for the eyes, the god is light. Why light? Suppose I live in a world where there is absolutely no light at all. Suppose there was no light and we were living, then your eyes won't be able to work, right? You have eyes, but they become useless. Or so eyes, light is required for eyes to function. So light is the god of eyes. Now, what about ears? The sound moves through space. So space is the god of hearing. like sun is the light, is the god of seeing. Then for nose, it is smell, it is the earth. For taste, it is water, and for touch, it is air. So there are five gods for each of the five senses. So eyes are light, ear is sound, space, smell is earth, taste is water, and touch is air. So these five are the devas. Devas also mean the ability to illumine. So the fact that my eyes can see, my ears can hear, the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch is also called Deva. And why is Indra the lord of all? Because who controls the sense organs? The mind, right? The mind decides what I should see, hear, and then whatever impulse comes through the eyes or ears, the mind transmits to the intellect. So the mind is like the controller, and then intellect, of course, is on top of the mind. So Indra is the god of mind, of mana. So that's why Indra is the king of all the gods, and that's why where he lives is called Swarga. And for that, obviously, you have to be dead. So what is death? So Gurudev says the subtle body divorces the gross body and leaves it and goes off, and that is death, where the subtle body goes to the higher worlds. And what kind of worlds I go to, the seven are determined by my vasanas, by my desires. So for example, if I ask you, okay, right now you are here, but now go to your favorite store, or what store you would like to go at this time, where would you like to go? So somebody will go to a, food store because they are hungry, go to a restaurant. Somebody will go to a sari store, jewelry store, or maybe to a man will go to a sports store, or maybe go to
Gadgets.
Target to buy, so
Gadgets.
different stores you will go based on your vasanas. So same way, based on our vasanas, we go to different worlds. Based on my desires, different results I get. And then based on that also, I get the next birth. So good deeds, when they are done, then these rays of the sun, it's like they welcome, please come, please come. Like suppose you have done a lot of good deeds and you are a CEO and you have worked for a charitable corporation and you are very well known and you have done a lot of good deeds, and you go somewhere to some organization, you are invited as a chief guest. They say, oh, please come in, please come in, welcome, welcome. And they'll welcome you with garlands, or they will have a red carpet for you, throw flowers on the way. So that's how these rays of the sun, they carry us, our karmas, our vasanas, they carry us to different worlds. And what kind of house I get, what kind of place I live in, even in heaven, there are, gradations, where if you have done a lot of good karmas, your house is near Indra. And if they have not done, you have done good, but not that much, then you live somewhere in the outskirts, in the boonies of heaven. You are in heaven, but you are way out somewhere, and you will say, where is Indra? Indra is there, and you hardly get to see him. And then you are watching a dance, and person who has done good karmas, Urvashi, is dancing, and he has the ground floor seat, and you are in heaven, but not done good karmas. You are in the nosebleed seats, way on top, and you are trying to see where is Urvashi. So even in heaven, there are grades. So based on, and then there is jealousy. Why? How come he has a better seat than I do? How come he has a better house? So in heaven, people don't give up their, these human tendencies, jealousy, greed, self. So that's why they say, go beyond heaven. Do not have desires. When you are doing good karmas, do it because to purify my mind, because it is the right thing to do, and I serve God and serve the world with these good karmas. And that is the whole purpose of doing karmas. Do the purpose of doing karmas is that.
Terrific.
That purification of mind and to evolve. And same way, like, if you, even the hotel, if you check in and you have a suite on the penthouse on the top floor, suppose you have some ordinary room, they will say, okay, here's your room, give you the key, you go. But if you are living in the penthouse, then they will say, oh, sir, come here, and then the bellboy will come and take your bags and, open the door for you of that place, show you around, and, offer you wine and all. So just as in this world, you get based on your karmas, based on your money, how much money you can spend, that is your karma. So there also, our money is our good karmas. And what it shows us is that there is this power of karma. And we'll talk more about that in the next mantra. What is the power of karma? So this is where we see that how this person is welcomed and given the best of whatever he can. Again, based on the level of how many rituals he has done, with how much faith he has done, how much offerings he has made, and if he did at the right time without mistakes, yatha kalam, the yatha kalam, at the right time in the right way. So this again shows us that this path of rituals is not easy. In the olden days, people could do it because they were good with chanting and they knew the mantras and all that. But for us, we have to call a Panditji, and then it's hard for us. So that's why Gurudev says, do what you can do. And as we said, do service, japa, puja, and meditation. These are the four things that we can do. Gulshanji, you have it. Can you chant? You can turn on your camera. Okay, Hansaben, you can do that. You have. Okay, number six. एहि तमाहुतय
एहेहीति तमाहुतय सुवचर्षः
सूर्यस्य
सूर्यस्य रश्मिभिर्यजमानं वहन्ति
क्रियां वाचम् अभिवन्तयोर्चयन्त्य
प्रियां वाचम अभिवन्तयो चर्यन्तः चर्यन्त्य
एषवः पुण्यसुकृतो ब्रह्मलोकः
एष वः पुण्य सुकृतो ब्रह्मलोकः
ओके वी कैन चैंट टुगेदर एहि तमाहुतय सुवर्चसः सूर्यस्य रश्मिभिर्यजमानं वहन्ति क्रियां वाचम् अभिवदन्त्योर्चयन्त्य एष वः पुण्यसुकृतो ब्रह्मलोकः सो एह कम हियर इति इन दिस वे तम आहुतय सो दीज आहुतिज दैट यू हैव ऑफर्ड ऑब्लेशंस यू हैव ऑफर्ड इन द ब्रिलियंट फायर सो दैट्स व्हाट दीज ऑफरिंग्स डू दे टेक यू वेयर सूर्यस्य रश्मि भी So by the rays of the sun, by the rays of the sun, yajmanam, as we mentioned, is not only yajman, but yajman patni also. So the husband and wife together, vahanti, they carry you, they take you. And what do they do? Again, he's emphasizing what is the benefit of this. Priyam vacham, very sweet words. Abhivadanti means they welcome, they address you, they talk to you in very sweet words, and archayanti, and they praise you. When you have done good deeds, you get praise. Like in this earth also, if you have done good deeds and then you become the chief guest somewhere, then when they introduce you, they start with all the lengthy introduction. Oh, this person is so great. He has done this, he has done that. He is, we are privileged to have him. So just as you are praised in this world, so there also you are praised. Esha vaha punya, and these punya karmas, sukrita means good works, take us to the world of Brahma, Brahma Loka. So again, as we said, it's not only rituals, but you have to have upasana and jnanam. but different worlds up to heaven and then above. So come here, come here. And cremation is only done in the daytime. If you notice, cremation is not done at night. You never see anybody being cremated at night because they are saying that the sun's rays are there and this person is dying. So may his subtle body get carried by the rays of the sun. And then we can go to higher worlds or lower worlds, as we said. You know, if you have a lot of money, you get a nice room. And if you have not got in this world also, don't have enough money, you live in some slum or some guest house or something. So same way, the kind of room you get, whether it's higher world or lower world, it is all based on your karmas. And they say there is two things. One is paristhitivad and karmavad. This is very important. Paristhitivad means I accept what is. Theek hai, this is my karma, you know, this is what I have to bear with. This is my life, you know, I have been given this. What can I do? Whatever is in my destiny. Jo hoga, so hoga, you know, very passive. But that karmavad is that you can do karmas and improve your life. You know, so you can, destiny is there, but you can also, your free will is there to improve that. So, karmavad, we have to believe in karmavad because we are humans. We have, like, a dog has no ability to judge, you know, wherever he's, whichever house he's sold, however he's treated. Cow doesn't, but humans have the ability to improve their life and improve their karma and then improve their karma phalas. That's what this shows, that your karma phalas depend on your karma. So our goal of life should be to do as many good karmas as possible, help others, give back unselfishly, share with whatever ability I have. If I have money, I share money. If I have time, I share time. If I have love, I share love. You know, if I have ability to work, I work for others. So consciously, constantly being alert that how can I help this world, number one. Number two, the karma phala also means, one commentary I heard, that whatever is happening to me is because of my karma phala. So then we don't blame somebody else that because of this person I am unhappy, because of this person I'm suffering, or because of this person I'm happy, I'm doing well. So there is no raga dvesha. Raga dvesha, otherwise we get attached to people who help us and we get dislike people who do not help us or hurt us. But when you accept that whatever is happening is because of my karmas and karma phala, then these raga dvesha does not come. There is a beautiful saying. It says, "Kono ko sukh dukh kar data, nij krit karma bhog sabrata." He says, who is the one that is giving you sukha and dukkha, oh brother? It is your own karmas that are giving you dukkha and sukha. So they say you can fix your karmas. You can fix negative karmas that we have been doing, any wrong things we have been doing. You fix those and then you move further. So that is what these four mantras, I've talked about rituals, how they are done, how important they are, but it is requires a lot of precision. You need the proper times, you need the proper technique, you need to have the proper pundits, and then these rituals, if they are done properly, will take you higher. But we are living in this karma bhumi where, as I had said before also, in Satyug was meditation, then there was upasana, pujas, in Treta Yug, then Dwapar Yug was japa. No, Dwapar Yug was one was Archana, other one was Japa, Puja, Archana and Puja. And then the current Yug, it is Japa. Just chanting the name of the Lord is the best exercise in the Kali Yug. So these are the four Yugas. Because in Satyug, people's minds were more subtle. So they could do more meditation. Does not mean that at this time I should not do meditation. In my opinion, and most of the masters say, we should do all. Even Gurudev says, do some karma yoga, do some japa, do some puja, and do some dhyanam, do some meditation. And so that is how we move forward in this life journey and move to higher worlds. And now the next four mantras, which we will do in August, the Rishi will criticize these rituals. After having explained the rituals, he says that these rituals are not easy to do, and do not get stuck on rituals. See, in the olden days, people used to be stuck. They only do ritual, ritual, ritual every day, twice a day, and not do anything else. So yeah, the pujas are necessary and japa is necessary, but along with that, have knowledge and have karma yoga. So all three, bhakti yoga, karma yoga, and jnana yoga, knowledge, reading the scriptures, reading the good books, and then meditation. So all four have to be done. With the body, you do karma yoga. With the mind, you do bhakti, you love God. With the knowledge, you study the scriptures. And with meditation, you do all three together. You do meditation uses the body, mind, and intellect. So that's how you do it all together, and that's how you move forward. So this is where I'll end. We have done four mantras. We have a lot of time. If anybody has question, either about this, what we talked today, or any other questions, please feel free to ask, or any comments you have, anything you can add, please feel free to do that. Yeah, Lata, go ahead.
Yeah, so the lot more emphasis was on rituals, and that's why Adi Shankaracharya came and corrected the notion and brought the knowledge.
No,
Is that
that,
what you
yeah,
would
that,
say?
no, that also, but I think the main reason Shankaracharya ji came was that wrong concepts of Buddhism were being emphasized, where people were developing vairagya. Young, healthy men would just leave and just take sannyas, put on orange clothes, and then mentally they were not prepared. And so when sannyas is being taken by a young man who is not mentally prepared, then all bad things happen, you know, young men or women. And Buddhism was good, but then a lot of wrong ideas of Buddhism, this shunyavada, that there is nothing. And nothing, and we just, you know, and people wholesale were leaving their homes. And so he wanted to eliminate Buddhism, this wrong concept of Buddhism, which we saw in Tibet. I think I mentioned in one of the talks, we went to Tibet. In Tibet, this idea of Buddhism was there, that everybody was taking sannyas, and there were hardly any soldiers, hardly any police. And it was just, you know, and people were very poor, you know, because people are not work, no industries, no, you know, they were just doing minimum farming and living in extreme poverty, misery. When we went to Kailash, we went to one Tibetan's house who was sick, and they asked us to come there, and we had medicine, so we gave that. And house was so poor, hardly anything there, and that's how the average things homes were. And so there was no police, no military, no nothing. And when the Chinese decided to conquer, they just walked in with their army and tanks, and not a single weapon they had to fire, because Tibetans had no weapons to fight. So when vairagya becomes extreme, you know, for vairagya you have to be mentally prepared to take vairagya. So that's what Shankaracharya ji's main purpose was, to re-establish our Vedic dharma, and more emphasis on Gyan Mark, the importance of knowledge. And that's why he wrote commentaries on Upanishads and Brahma Sutras and all that. But yeah, also to re-establish the Vedic way of thinking. But then not everybody is fit for Vairagya. That's what he wanted to teach us.
But also telling them that this yagnas and all are not the ultimate. They will not give you the
Yes.
ultimate moksha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yagnas will not give you ultimate moksha. That also Shankaracharya ji came to tell us true. That, and to emphasize the path of knowledge, you know, the Upanishads. That's why he wrote commentaries on all the major eight Upanishads, on Brahma Sutras. He wrote Vivek Chudamani, you know, Bhaj Govind, Bhaj Govindam, again to develop the right how to detach from the world, what is the right method of detachment, which all of you are studying Bhaj Govindam, and how at towards the end of it, even in Bhaj Govindam, he gives the highest knowledge.
Same thing.
Updesh Sar also, and
Same
then even in
difference.
that Sadhana Panchakam, everywhere, we find that Shankaracharya Ji's contribution to this our Vedantic teaching is unbelievable. That's why they say he was a avatar of Bhagwan Shankara himself. Bhagwan Shankar manifested in him, so that's why he, like Ved Vyas Ji was a avatar of Vishnu, so same way Shankaracharya Ji was avatar of Bhagwan Shankar. But
Okay,
yeah, that
thank
was
you.
his purpose. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Any comments?
We'll be meeting now in August.
Yeah, anybody has anything? Sharad, you have
Yeah, I
anything?
have a question.
Yeah, go
So
ahead.
the Buddhism still goes on, right?
Yeah, Buddhism is not wrong. Buddhism is good. It's a good because it teaches you non-violence, humility, meditation and all. But Buddhism was misinterpreted in India. So in India, he eliminated completely Buddhism, Shankaracharya. And Buddhism is there in the Southeast Asian countries, in Nepal, in
Right.
Tibet, in
Long.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos and all. But in India, it is pretty much gone. Because they had misinterpreted and given wrong concepts. Again, even in other countries, how many people truly know what Buddha said and what he meant? See, to understand Buddha is also not easy, So, when Buddha said he was against making idols, and what they did, they made 60-foot idols of Buddha himself.
Himself.
Buddha was, and he biggest idols, gold statue, 60-foot, 100-foot. So they have not understood Buddha. To understand Buddha is also not easy. Buddha was an enlightened master and his teachings were wonderful. Like anything else, even in Hinduism, how many people study Upanishads? How many people truly know, what the teachings of our great rishis were? They just worry about, okay, thoda sa ritual kar diya and go, that's it, they think. Or they go to temple once a week, they think, ho gaya, that's it. So people don't follow. It's same thing in Christianity, what Jesus said and how they are practicing, forcefully converting, and then, or what, Islam, it's all misinterpretation of these Mahatmas, of the founders.
Thank you.
Right? Is that right? Thank you. Anything else? Anybody? No, Sharad, you
I
have a
have
question?
a
Yeah,
question.
Deepika, go ahead, and then Sharad, yeah.
Yeah, the timing of the things that we do during the day, how important is that? I know it has to be at the right time, but other than that, if it's like you can't get up like early in the morning, sometimes you do a meditation a little later. How does that affect?
Yeah. So one is the action. And one is the time, Kalvad and Karmavad. So the action should be done, puja should be done, or meditation should be done. But if I cannot get up in the morning, little later is okay too. So it's not that, or if like a puja I do every day in the morning, but one day I am sick or my child is sick and I overslept. So you don't say, okay, today I won't do puja. Do it a shortened puja or do it. So it's more important is to do the activity. Do not stress too much about time or about even doing it correctly. You say, Bhagwan, I'm offering it to you. And when you do it with that offering, with that pure bhakti, then it's okay. We don't have the pandits and all, for them, rituals and timings and all are important. For you and me, more important is how I surrender my actions to Bhagwan. Everybody knows that story about that young boy, right? In the who the priest, where God was coming. Okay, there was this priest who could actually was very advanced. He could see the higher powers. And so one day he was preaching, but he had not seen God directly. And he was preaching and he suddenly saw God coming. And he went to this young boy who was four, five years old and stayed with him for a while and went away. So priest said, I have been teaching for last 20 years in the church and I know so much. I know all the Bible. God has never come to me. How did he come to this boy or girl, whoever it was, that child? So he went to her and said, what prayer did you use to call God? So she says, all I know is ABC. So I said my ABCD up to Z. And I said, God, now you make your own prayer out of these ABCs. I don't know how to make. And God came. So God looks at your heart. So do not, otherwise we stress too much about right time, right? Even if you cannot chant, you know, people don't know Sanskrit chanting and they say, oh, God will be angry. God is never angry. God is all love, compassion, kindness. All he looks at is your heart. You offer anything to him. You know, that's why they say, put patram pushpam phalam toyam. You offer me a flower, a petal, a fruit, or even water. Me bhaktya pranashyati. One who offers it to me with love, then I accept it. So more important is with what attitude you offer with love and surrender. Even a leaf is enough to or even water. Does not mean that only we should give patram pushpam. If I can give more, then I should. You know, if I can do a better puja, if I can do charity, if I can donate, then we should do that. Otherwise, people misunderstand that. Does that mean that if I just offer a fruit? Again, it's said also, whatever your ability is, if your ability is to give more, we should give.
And also you said that we have to reduce our negative karmas, but the negative karmas can be only reduced again through japa, puja, upasana and meditation.
Exactly. Japa, puja, upasana, meditation and karma yoga.
Yeah.
It's like a bank. You know, you put money in it. That is like karma yoga. If you're doing negative, you are withdrawing from your bank. So you have karma bank. If you do good karmas, you add. If you do negative karmas, then you get a negative cash flow. Negative.
But they do get accumulated. Either way, you have to still go through those negative karmas or positive karmas, whatever they
Absolutely.
Are.
Right, right.
They are not negated in any way.
They are not negated, but they say that if you have done a lot of good karmas, the bad karma will come, but then Bhagwan will modify it. You will get the result of it, but it can be modified by doing all these other activities. You cannot completely eliminate them, but you can modify them. But yeah, you have to undergo generally. But the best is to keep doing good, good, good as much as you can. Thank you. Hansa, you have a comment?
Okay. You know, I was trying to interpret in a little different way. When you say details of yajna in the third sloka, it also applies to our sadhana. How detailed and how accurate we are in our sadhana. I can't be doing japa and saying my vow is burning the rice or something like that. So wherever you are, you have to have full concentration on what you're doing without expecting any fruit. That is the main thing. Even the yajna in the past was done for some results coming out of it. Okay, so you did with the results, so you got the result you wanted. Now, the flames, the description of the flame also tells me that my mind should be so sharp to see every little flicker that I have in my mind while I'm doing sadhana. I need to have one pointed single flame without smoke. So in other words, I should be able to look at myself in a detail that way to see whether whatever I'm doing is totally focused or not. So these all actions leave a trail. So the fifth one, it leaves a trail in your mind. And that's what creates your future with that trail. So according to you, we go according to our vasana into a sari shop or a toy shop. So that vasana carries us with us. And we go accordingly, whatever karma we do, good. Maybe all karmas are done for a good reason and good. So you are going to get good result, but ultimately you reach only up to Brahmalok. You can't, or heaven, but you can't go beyond that with just karma. This is what I thought this four slokas, I look at it that way.
No, thank you. That's very good. Very good commentary. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll end here. Time is up. We'll meet in 3 months. in August 19th. So for the summer, the classes will be closed. So please keep reading on your own. You can read the Mundak Upanishad. You can read other bhakti texts. Read, any Bhagavad Gita. But do not give up reading. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. Do not deviate from the path of swadhyaya and spreading this knowledge, sharing this knowledge. But keep studying every day. Some reading, some puja every day should be done, some karma yoga. So do not deviate from that path. So 3 months, we have an opportunity also to contemplate what we have heard throughout the year. These 3 months, we can contemplate, strengthen it. And then we also have firstpower.info. Some of you do listen to that. So if you have any question or some mantra is not clear, they are there. Amit is putting that on. So the next day, usually it is on there. So we'll end here, do the closing. And then if anybody has additional question or comments, you can please stay back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। थैंक यू वेरी मच। हरि